Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. Got one more Space World lined up for you before our next real show. This time, Ryan is leading the discussion on Alien 3, and as always, do expect spoilers.
Okay, so we just did Aliens. Now we'll break into Alien 3, mm-hmm. which, what was the year? Was it 86, you said?
86 for Aliens, yes.
So it would be another 6 years later that they would come out with Alien 3 in 92. And again, they got another kind of, I guess you could call him a visionary director to take the helm. They got David Fincher this time around.
I think it's his first feature-length film.
Yes, the thing that he really was only known for prior to that is that famous Apple commercial. Do you remember the famous Apple commercial where it's a bunch of people like sitting in a theater being told to obey, and then this blonde woman comes in and throws the hammer at the screen?
Yeah.
It's this very flashy thing that happens. So they're like, hey, let's give it to this guy. See what he can do. And he, again, much in the same way that Ridley Scott and Cameron made very different kinds of alien movies, he makes his own kind of alien movie.
Mm, true.
And I think it's one that centers a lot more on character necessarily than events. It's not the horror chase sequences that you see from Alien. It's not the all-out action from Aliens. This one is more like a character piece drama that gets punctuated with some really, really graphic violence.
Yeah, so we should mention that. Before we even get into any plot points, I do want to also mention that David Fincher, while they did entrust him with this franchise, pretty successful franchise to this point, As a first-time director, he, I guess, did not get final cut. We're going to be talking about the director's cut of this movie. It is very different from the theatrical cut.
We discussed this.
Well, when we all watched this, we kind of had different ideas of how this movie was supposed to play out in the first place.
Yeah, and I don't think I'd ever seen the director's cut until I watched it a couple times a few weeks ago. But we might even do a separate Space World doing the theatrical cut, because they are so different. They're almost two different movies.
How are they that much different? I thought...
Well, we'll get into more specifics when we actually do a discussion on the theatrical cut, but like the way that the alien emerges is different. I think there might even be more aliens in the theatrical version. I think there might be a few of them running around, whereas in the director cut, the David Fincher cut, it's just the one of them running around. And I think that... No, it's just the one.
Oh, sweet.
Because it's the trap. The one that they trap
gets
released again by the guy that's trying to free the dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
Free the dragon?
So here's the thing.
Yeah, remember he like, that was this weird thing. He didn't even know how to... He was so traumatized, he didn't know what to call this thing. He just called it a dragon.
So I think that the director cut, the David Fincher cut, has these really heavy religious themes running through it, and I think one of the things they hit a lot harder is there's one guy on the planet who, of course, is in a cult, so he interacts and perceives this alien a lot differently from everyone else. So when they, toward the middle of the movie, when they have it trapped somewhere, he's the guy who goes and sets it free and then just starts running amok again.
Oh dear God, all right, didn't know that.
But real quick, David Fincher. I do want to just give David Fincher a little bit of time here. Director of my favorite movie, Fight Club.
Yeah.
Also directed...
Still haven't seen that movie.
Social Network.
Not supposed to talk about it. He also directed Seven, Social Network.
I'm sick.
Gone Girl.
Yeah, Panic Room. Panic Room's great. It's a kind of a... the story isn't that great, maybe, but the way that it's made is incredible. Fincher's got a really good eye for making films. Mm-hmm.
Zodiac, Benjamin Button.
Seven.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, US version.
You make so many good movies.
Yeah, really versions that are a lot of times harsh and brutal in a lot of ways, and they're shot, they look very grimy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a really unique visual aesthetic.
And that was like, his the way that he brought Fight Club to screen is really impressive, because that's one of those books that seems unfilmable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he managed to capture everything about it really well. So, I mean, I don't know. And that's one of my favorites of his. I like Social Network a lot, too.
Yeah, me too.
Even though it's really just this dialogue-driven drama.
I mean, it is a very stark contrast to the rest of the stuff he's done, because it's much more clean. You'd almost think of it as like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, neither here nor there. So, this side of this movie, Alien 3, starts with Ripley and her ship crashing into this other planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole crux of the movie is she crashes into this planet where it's like an ex-prison, but there are prisoners staying there because they have some sort of religious commitment and they decided to stay there to wait for God.
Mm-hmm.
And they want her off because, you know, they hate women for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's really...
I think it was a big thing on, like, temptation.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it drove the men to temptation and drifting from their religious views.
Yeah, and that's her fault for some reason.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway...
Well, they have a very fragile dynamic in the first place. Mm-hmm. They all seem to coexist. And they're all hardened criminals, right? These are people that have probably done some really horrible things.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the first pussy that gets in their face, they pretty much try to rape it. So
yeah, it
shows
true.
That they are not of the best moral fiber.
It's true. And there's also a sort of a police presence. There's like a warden and his assistant. But one of the big plot points of the movie is there are no weapons on this planet. So once you know, there's an alien on the loose, killing them all... They are really, really fucked. So,
mm-hmm.
and Ripley crashes onto the planet, and it is in the same pod where she left LV-426 with Hicks and, you know, the disembodied parts of Bishop and Newt. And, of course, they are dead. They did not survive the crash.
That is true.
So, once again, she's the sole survivor. And again, this is supposed to be a little bit in the future. I don't know if it's as far in the future mm-hmm. as Aliens was from Alien. But, again, like, time has passed, but not really for her, because she's been in stasis. This is just, like, a really shitty week for Ripley.
I don't have the exact years, but, yeah, it's, like, the real time that has passed. I think she was supposed to be born in, like, the 2080s, and these events are happening in the 2190s.
Hmm.
So it's, like, about 100 years chronologically has happened. And, yeah, like you're saying, it's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been really bad. So
she has not had a good time here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been long enough for her to have a kid, that kid to grow old, that kid to die, and then for 30 more years of waiting to go from the alien cryo sleep to waking up on this planet of prisoners.
Yeah, and then there's an implication close to the beginning that there might have been a facehugger on the escape ship with them, and that might be what happened to, I almost called him Reese, Hicks, of course. He's Reese in the Terminator movie.
Yeah.
Something might have happened to Hicks and Newt. So, again, very early on in the movie, they have this... They're going to have their bodies waiting for the corporation to come get them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wayland Corporation, again, is a strong presence in this movie that you don't really
again,
see very much.
Again, suddenly proving their assholes by being like, oh, we'll send you somebody in a couple of weeks. And then when they establish that there might be some kind of alien there, they're like, we'll be there in 2 hours.
Right. Yeah. And then there's one point where Ripley's like communicating with them, and like, okay, do we have permission to kill this thing if we come across it? Like, no, don't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys are a bunch of dicks.
Yeah.
So, and really early on, they have this funeral of sorts for Hicks and Newt, where they're cremating their bodies because they don't know if they're infected or not, if they have an alien planted in them.
Yeah.
And it's just this really heavy-handed religious ceremony where the one character, Dylan, played by Charles S. Dutton, mm-hmm. is giving this speech, and juxtaposed with this speech about the afterlife and moving on and like obeying God and all that, there is an alien busting out of a cow.
Yeah.
And it's this really interesting juxtaposition. And throughout the whole movie, there's this running theme of... The duality of sort of religion where it's their faith that is barely keeping these animals in check.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise they're going around just raping every woman they see. But then there's also this sort of brutality of religion to where it is very oppressive.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just this really interesting theme that goes throughout the entire movie that I'm not sure if that all that made it into the theatrical cut. But it's interesting to see.
And to him,
Fincher's take.
For the alien to literally rip through the cow, the sacred cow.
Right.
Right.
Yep. So, I mean, the characters we were talking about on the previous show, the characters of this movie, not nearly as strong of a cast. Not nearly as colorful as a cast. You have a lot of
colorful is a good word to use. I was gonna say monochromatic. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's basically a bunch of pale British dudes.
Yeah,
and then
short with short hair.
Charles Dutton, who is like the guy that's technically their pastor, mm-hmm. their voice of reason that seems to be the only one that can do it.
I'm trying to find the name of the actor. I forget what it is, but there's also this doctor.
Yeah, I was about to say the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you think he's being set up because him and Ripley sort of have a thing. You think that he's like being set up to be this major character. He's one of the first to bite it.
Yeah.
There's so much development for this character that all of a sudden just
yeah,
gone.
And he's gone.
It's really sudden. Like it's really weird how they did that, but I liked it. I was like, oh, we're
yeah.
This guy is a big deal, and then
it does kind of
gives a shit about what's his face.
It does
like,
kind of.
She doesn't seem sad about it either. That's the funny thing. She's like,
yeah.
Oh, what's his face is dead.
I mean, and to her, a lot of people have died over the past couple
of days.
So
she's like immune to it at this point.
Like,
she's like, right,
this guy's
let's be BFFs. Oh, you're dead, moving on.
Oh, it's Charles Dance, by the
yes,
way. That's the actor's name. Yeah. And then that's a good point, too, because it sort of draws back to like the first Alien movie where the most unlikely of heroes emerges, and Ripley, even though she's just sort of like this, you know, she's in it for the paycheck, she's just there. And you got all these other characters that you think are going to be bigger and more important than her. It's like what Tom Skerritt is, at the time, the biggest actor in those movies. And so they're clearly building up this Charles Dance guy. And like the very last thing you hear about him is like this really cool bit of background about why he himself, why he imprisons himself
mm-hmm.
with these other criminals, because he feels responsible for a bunch of deaths that occurred because he was in the medical profession and he took a shift drunk and then prescribed dosage incorrectly and killed dozens. So
yeah,
he harbors so much guilt about that
yeah.
he's like, I should be in purgatory with these guys too.
Just like that. Who cares?
And then, yeah, he's dead. Immediately dead.
I think the only other like real standout in this movie cast-wise is Pete Postlewaite, of
yeah,
course.
PDP makes an appearance.
Yes,
he's awesome.
Who's that?
Pete Postlewaite. Hang on, pull up a picture.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And he's so
great.
Minor in it, too.
It's true. He doesn't really have a whole lot of speaking lines,
it's just like three things, and that's it.
He nearly makes it to the end, though. He becomes...
Well, he just has that face. He has a really
a
good face for film, I guess you could say. And then, again, you're right. It's like kind of these other guys who sort of blend together.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one...
they all look
douchey,
the same.
There's the one that the rapist guy.
Nasally guy that's in charge of everything. Or trying to call
the shots.
Sort
of
and then there's that one guy who dies. And then there's the other guy who dies. And then the one guy who explodes.
He explodes.
In the air vent.
In the air vent. Yeah. Is that the most graphic death?
I think it might be.
I mean, the doctor was pretty graphic. He like pulls him up and then blood just falls from him.
That's true.
Oh, that's pretty
good. That's pretty gross.
And then there's the one douchebag is saying its speech. He's like, everything's fine, don't worry about it. And then he like grabs him in the neck and just...
Well, and that's great because everyone, from then on, there can be no disbelief.
Yeah.
Everybody has just watched this thing come in and just eat one of them. So they can't be like, oh, you know, well, they died of mysterious circumstances. Maybe it's the woman that did it. Or
really saying they were like, I told you, bitches.
It's like, yeah,
come on.
Fucking real, you know.
Don't want to believe me because I got, you know...
I shaved my head for this. Come on, guys.
So we also learn, maybe about halfway through the movie, that there was indeed a facehugger on the escape pod, and Ripley has an alien, a xenomorph, inside her, which of course then makes the Wayland Corporation be like, we will be right there.
Yeah. Yes.
And don't worry. And don't worry. We're going to take it out of you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
So then you have like, you know that Ripley is just a ticking time bomb. So you already know, like, that this woman who has survived all this shit is not making it out of there alive.
Yeah. Well, so, and she had that paranoia in Aliens. She had that paranoia about potentially being infected, or potentially being already, like, impregnated with this alien thing.
Which, it's implied that she was impregnated on the ship when it crashed, right?
Yes. She was on the ship, because it didn't happen to her when she was already
on the planet.
And then
before the cow. So the cow one grows a lot quicker, but it wasn't like the doctor who discovers this with them and like gives her something to...
No, it was after the doctor. Well, the doctor's giving this drug cocktail, and that's, I think they try to explain it as it's slowing the gestation because it does take longer for
the
thing to pop out of her.
Yeah, than the cow.
Well, I mean, usually, like even in the first Alien movie, it's not long after like they get the face hugger off of the guy that it pops out of him for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they imply it's this drug cocktail that he's been giving Ripley that sort of slows it down. Because, of course, the cow, like, the...
That was quick.
Yeah.
That was like 10 minutes. Boom. Here's a dude. And here's he grows up quick.
Well, and even in the first Alien movie, it doesn't take them long to get full size either. It's not like they're chasing, like, this little rat thing around for half the movie. It gets big pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So... You have this scene, and of course, going back to all those themes of motherhood, you have this scene where Ripley's basically getting an ultrasound, and you see it, like, moving around inside. It was a really freaky scene. And that's after the doctor dies. So she's in there with, like, the assistant warden, who's one of the last guys to die in the movie. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much everyone is fucking dead in this movie.
There's one guy that makes it out.
The fucking rapist.
Yeah.
The fucking guy who tries to rape her is the guy who lives.
Oh, yeah. My God.
This movie is dark. This movie is dark as shit.
The priest guy doesn't even make it.
The pastor gets all this like molten lead dropped on top of him, because that's what they finally end up doing. Because they have no weapons, they're trying to trap the xenomorph in this one area so they can dump all it. And I think there's this scene through corridors and stuff where they're trying to slam doors behind it in order to funnel it in the particular direction they want it to go in. And then dump all this molten lead on it.
The one dude, like, sacrifices himself.
Right, the pastor.
Yeah,
Pastor Dylan.
In the big pit, when he intentionally has her pour the molten lead on him.
Mm-hmm.
Just to capture the alien, too. And then the alien, it could still technically get out of that, if not for the fact that there was a sprinkler system ready to go.
Mm. Right, and see, the plan didn't even work. They had to turn on the sprinklers to, like, harden the metal and have it expand really quick, which ends up shattering...
Yeah,
the alien. I don't know if that holds up to scrutiny, but hey.
Yeah, that seems a little...
Well, it's also...
This is in Terminator 2. I mean, this is...
Because perhaps the, like, the most...
That's where I got the idea.
Dude! Pastor Dylan should have done the thumbs up as the molten flint.
Yes!
Tie it all together.
Well, like, the most... what would you say? The scene that required the most mobility was that scene where they're trying to basically get it into the pit to drop the stuff on it. And it's just kind of funny that the first thing it starts out with is the guy that's supposed to start the chain reaction, his switch doesn't work and he just gets iced immediately by the alien. And then they only start because like, hey, the first fucking light didn't show up. What the hell is going on? Oh my God. And then ripped apart. And he's like, okay, well now we're running.
Well, this is awkward.
It's like, I'm just going to leave you guys here.
So you do see a lot in that sequence, especially, you do see a lot of this CG xenomorph moving around.
Yeah.
And they did use some practical effects for this movie, but they also used a bunch of computer-generated effects. And this movie was nominated for an Academy Award for visual effects.
Really?
They don't hold up so well now, but this was, what, fucking 25 years ago?
Yeah. It also benefits from the fact that it's a dark film,
mm-hmm,
like just as far as colors go.
Yeah.
Pretty much the entire movie is either like rust or black.
Yeah.
So
a lot of brown in there.
Special effects tend to hold up a lot better when things are dark.
It's still better than the trash floating around in Event Horizon.
It's,
so
it's like it's like you're reading my mind. You knew exactly where I was going with that. Because it is true. It looks a whole lot better than Event Horizon. So.
But then again, there is the effects of that blood wall. Which isn't special effects, but there is the
blood. There's all that corn syrup flowing.
Found blood here.
And Sam Neill with all his scars and shit.
Mm-hmm.
All those occult symbols on the wall. And like the dude who's like all
disembodied.
Yeah, God. Yeah. The movie's so good. So what else? What else do we want to... Anything about Alien 3?
I think it's another great entry in the series. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't get trite or try to redo anything. It's just another great director... Taking a shot at making an Alien movie. It'd be cool if this is what the series had kept doing. Shame it took... Well, there is Alien Resurrection. I don't know if we're even... Are we going to talk about that one?
We can talk about Alien Resurrection.
With the Ripley clone and...
I think it's a fun movie.
Albino Alien.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous and it's fun, but it's totally not in the same vein as the other ones. I don't think it's a fitting fourth chapter in this series. I think... Prometheus makes a great zero chapter,
mm-hmm,
but that's not a good fourth chapter. But I just like that you have three amazing directors showing their shit, showing that they're awesome directors, making unique films that all seem to revolve around the same thing and keeping in mind the same themes and principles, and it's just cool. This is a great series.
Let's do a thing. We did a thing with Event Horizon where we recast the remake. Let's not cast a remake for this. Let's talk about what director would you want to see make a fourth chapter, a continuation of this, rather than like a backstory with Prometheus.
I don't know director's fault.
So I know my first pick is a guy that's already shown to be a chameleon director, Danny Boyle.
Mm-hmm. Danny Boyle
makes all kinds of fun movies. I think it'd be interesting to see what his vision would be for the series.
What would it look like if Steven Spielberg did it?
Probably a lot like Avatar.
It'd be kind of soft. I mean, if you think about Jurassic World, he's really good at making those big adventure action movies. I mean, like, Spielberg's whole career has been about that. He makes these good spectacles. If you're talking about James Cameron's set pieces, you better fucking talk about Spielberg. Because he's the guy that is, like, the king of that shit. It would be cool to see him do, like, a Close Encounters E.T. thing. It's so far removed from what he's been doing lately. I mean, Spielberg's one of the most...
What about Michael Bay?
Commercial
what about Michael Bay doing this?
Michael Bay, it would be all about the spectacle. And in all these other movies, you really see like certain directors' sensibilities come out. I don't think Michael Bay has a sort of sensibility of his own. It's all about just get to your next action sequence.
It just blows some stuff up a lot.
And I think that would be a disservice to the franchise. Like, I think Danny Boyle would be good. We've talked about one of his movies, his space movies already in Sunshine.
Yep.
So we did a space world on.
He's shown that he knows how to make a movie in outer space.
Yeah. And, you know, after that, I really can't think of maybe like
We've talked about a
Duncan Jones who did Moon, maybe. We get back to like the isolation of the first one if you really want to retread that territory.
Could you imagine if Alfonso Cuarón, keeping in mind that he made Gravity
and Children of Men,
if rather than having, you know, the vacuum of space be his monster, if he had a literal monster to chase somebody around, he would basically make the first Alien film on steroids.
I think that'd be a good one too.
Over the top, insane. Like that would be, I think, worth the spectacle. Can we just make a time machine and go back to the 90s and grab John McTiernan, one of the greatest action directors ever? That would be cool. I don't know. Yeah, I wish I had a little more time to brood over this topic of who would make another good entry into the Alien franchise. But yeah, I think it's whatever the director brings to the table is what this series has shown that it can do well. What are you looking up?
No, I was brooding. I got this stupid thought in my head. I was just being a troll at this point. But I was thinking like Peter Weir.
Jeez, it would be so atmospheric. The alien would show up in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's so existential.
Oh god, you could have Ben Affleck do it, cast himself as the alien.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. Kevin Smith's alien.
Oh my god.
Alright, so I think that's a good enough place to close out here. So
I think this is our longest space world.
Yeah, it probably is our longest. We intended to do these like for 10 minutes, and as soon as we started talking about Alien, it's like, now these are fucking 20 minutes long.
Well, so, we're finding good movies to talk about, so that's what happens, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, so, well, yeah, that's a good enough place to close it out.
All right, and that'll wrap up this Space World episode. Next up is going to be the mini show, and then we'll follow that up with a couple more Space Worlds to wrap up the Alien series. So, till next time, everybody.